Hey there, Hoops fans. How you doing? It's your boy, Jonathan Macri, with you for another episode of NBA Takedown. I am joined by my friend and colleague, Jeff Johnson. Hello, Jeff. How are you?
Less than 48 hours left, man, until this trade deadline has come and gone.
A lot less than already, that, man.
What is it? What is it? 20, tomorrow at 3 28 o'clock.
28 hours.
Man. 28 hours. See, I don't even know my times. I'm in different time zones. I'm in different realities at this point. The NBA is fantastic, and the trade deadline is absolute chaos. Let's ride it out.
It is the one thing that no other sport will ever be able to replicate.
At all.
Like, football doesn't come close. Baseball's interesting, you know, stuff happens, but it's not like, I'm trying to think of what the equivalent, I don't know enough baseball players to make an analogy, but like what the equivalent of like the Harden Garland trade would be in baseball. Like it's just like something like that would not happen in any other sport.
Not really. I don't think, I don't think you could get that type of equivalent. It would be like if you traded, what's my man from the Phillies? That looks like Edge. I can't remember. But like Kyle Schwarber for my man that's the young guy on the Mariners.
That's very good.
That would probably be what it is. And I know Andrew Claudio is probably
yelling
at my screen, like, how could you not remember?
Listen, man, I can't name 10 baseball players, so you're doing better than me. I want to talk about the trades from yesterday. We'll go quick round robin, and then we'll do a little quick look ahead to what's left. Before we do that, did you have an opportunity to listen to the Bill Simmons trade value pod/show?
I did not.
Okay. Are you familiar with Simmons and the whole trade value thing? Okay.
I am.
So I've always been a fan of the concept. I just generally like it. And I thought, I didn't get a chance to listen to the pod yet, but I thought it'd be fun before we came on. I made my own top 10 list, and then I quickly Googled what his top 10 trade value guys were. And I'm gonna share with you my list, and then I want you to tell me how you think I did, and then I'll tell you what Bill's list was. You ready?
Real quick, just put this up real fast. Bryce Harper for Julio Rodriguez. That was the equivalent. Thank you so much to CJ and Loaf Breadman. That's exactly what I was going for. I knew if I gave the context clue, somebody would tap in and know. But that's probably as equivalent to Harden for Garland right now as we're going to get.
That's Julio Rodriguez. I use this phrase all the time. If Julio Rodriguez walked in my basement right now, I'd be like, hello, sir. Who are you?
See, I know who he was, but I would be scared to call him Julio because Julio was the first thing to come to mind. I wouldn't want to call him Julio and his name was like Juan or his name was like Jorge. That it's like, all right, now I'm in a situation where this has just become a sitcom. You know what I mean? I'm on the bad side of a sitcom.
That's funny because people call me John, Jonathan, whatever. I don't really care. But I guess
but that's different because it's like
John is short.
Your name is John is short of Jonathan. So if I call you either or, it depends on what your preference is. But I'm not necessarily wrong unless you're like me and your name is a nickname. So technically, if you call me Jeffrey, that's wrong because my legal name is not.
Are you the sort of person who, if someone calls you by the wrong name, you will immediately, like if someone calls you John, you'd be like, oh, it's Jeff actually, right?
You know what? I'd probably be so jarred that I wouldn't. Like, where did you get John from? You know what? I would probably make a joke out of it. Like, oh, that's my guy John. I'd be like, Jeff. And that's what I usually do. I'd be like, Jeff.
I wouldn't say anything.
Like, oh.
I'm also the person
funny
that
enough, I might not say nothing.
I wouldn't want to make the person feel bad. I'm also the person that if they get served like the wrong food at a restaurant, I'll just sit there. And if it's edible.
See, I'm a little different. I'll go to the waiter and I'll say, look, this is what was wrong. Please tell the chef I'm not complaining. I'm just pointing it out. And if there's anything that can be done, it's fine. If he comes back and he's like, yo, the meal is the meal, then I will ask for a refund. But please tell the chef I'm not complaining. I'm just asking. Can you please heat this up a little bit more? I apologize. That's
I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about like if I ordered grilled chicken and I got served a piece of tuna, I would just sit there and eat it.
Oh, hell no. No, you got to get my... That happened to us recently. I think maybe in December, my wife took us out for a brunch and took the family out. And they delivered a whole meal. Like,
to the point, that if it was yours?
Let's say I ordered lasagna.
Yeah. Right,
and they brought out a birthday cake. Even worse. Let's say I ordered lasagna and they brought out like chicken francaise, but okay. The way they used the sauce, it looked like lasagna.
So oh, okay.
Say, well, that's not lasagna, is it? And they'd be like, yeah, that's your lasagna. And I'm like, when did lasagna start looking like chicken breast covered in sauce? Are you guys sure? Are you guys sure? Because if this is how you make it, now I'm intrigued to try.
So you said
it.
Something.
Needless oh, yeah, to say. Hell yeah. That's and cool. Then eventually it was the guy next to us's meal.
So oh, okay.
It would have been even crazier. I'm sitting here eating your meal and you're like, yo, where's my meal?
Well, then I would be conflicted because then it's like, I'm inconveniencing someone else who didn't get their proper food. So it's just generally,
it's a lot. I could tell it's a lot because even for me, I had to like step back because yeah. I was like, I don't want to talk over this food. I don't want to contaminate it in any way so that I know this is for someone else. I want them to be assured that I did not cough or sample or fondle your food or do anything like that.
Fondle. I don't know why I just got an image of James Harden frequenting some of Cleveland's late night establishments.
Oh, that's got to be a Anthony Bourdain. Watch out!
Is there a red light district in Cleveland? I used to be. I've been to Cleveland. I should note. I've been to Cleveland probably at least a dozen times because my college girlfriend of like 2.5 years lived in Cleveland, and I like go over there routinely.
I have no clue, but I feel like there's a red light district in every city. You don't know where it is.
I'm sure James will find it. before we get to James Harden, did not make Bill Simmons' top 10 trade value list. Here was the list that I came up with. All right. Mm-hmm. I put Wemby at number one. Fair. I put Jokic at two and SGA at three. That was my top tier.
Yeah.
Sound okay for you?
Yeah, that's okay. Cause I think depending, it's like you're picking. $1 million in hundreds or $1 million exactly. In like 50s, right? Like it depends on what your preference is.
So I had them in their own tier. Then my second tier was a tier of two. I had Anthony Edwards at four and I had Luka Doncic at five.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Cause he okay. Should. Okay, no,
you're about to set me off with that freaking trade again, but yeah, it makes sense. It makes a whole lot of sense.
And then here's where it probably gets a little controversial. This was my personal list.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is one tier. Next five names. Jason Tatum, injury and all. Tyrese Maxey, Jalen Brunson. That was tough for me to put Maxey over Brunson, but I was trying to take my fanny hat off. Cade 9, and then this, I'm sure the hottest take of all of this, Tyrese Halliburton 10th. Those were my next five.
I'm trying to think.
And then after that, I would have had Flagg pretty soon after that. I would have had Donovan Mitchell pretty soon after that. I probably would have had Chet Holmgren pretty soon after that.
Who would have been your 11? Who'd you say?
Gun to my head, probably Flagg. Probably Flagg.
Oh, Cooper Flagg. Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, okay, Flagg. Yeah. I could see that.
So you don't think any of that's absurd?
I don't think so. Like even the Halliburton, I'm like, well, who would really have the beef to be over Halliburton in trade value?
Hold that thought. Here was Bill's list. He had the same top three as me, Wemby, Jokic, and SGA. Same top four as me, by the way. Edwards at four. He had Cooper Flagg at five, which I was like.
That feels very Simmons.
It does feel very similar.
Because you're also accounting for future value.
I guess I get it
what he's saying. Like if he projects out to what he is now over the course of 8 years,
yes.
While all those other stars are going to be declining for the most part.
Sure. But I feel like later on in my list, I have guys who I feel like, well, we don't maybe know for a fact that any of those other guys, because they haven't been yet, could be like the best guy on a title team. But I feel pretty good about like the other guys. Flag, maybe he could be that, but he might also just be like the best number two in the league. So that's
true.
Yeah, that's why I was a little surprised
like
of that.
Future projection, like you're projecting and expecting that he has an exponential rise. So I can hear the argument for Flag. That's high.
That's high.
Mighty high, but I can at least see the vision. Yeah. I might not agree, but I could see the vision.
It's not absurd. I could see it, but I may not agree. And then after this, he had Luka as his six, fine. Then he had Cade, which, all right, that's fine. And then he had Maxi, and those eight were one tier for him. So he had Maxi in his top tier with, like, Wemby and Jokic and SGA. That's the one where I was like, man, I don't know if I could put Maxi in that tier. Even Cade, honestly.
Is age a factor with that?
Yeah, I mean, sure, but, like, tier, but... you know, Maxi is still a small guard who is always going to be targeted defensively, and he's not a quote-unquote, like, he's not some kind of passing wizard. He's a good passer, but, like, I don't know, is he a markedly better passer than Brunson?
I hear you. Yeah, I like, he can make the pass, but I haven't seen too many, like, oh, Maxi.
No, Luka is a passer, you know. So I was a little surprised by Maxi in that tier. And then his last two, and these, well, so we had the next tier, and this was a two-person tier, only on their own. He had Giannis and Curry, and the title of the tier was, like, only if they asked out. I know how he thinks, and I get it. Like, Golden State's not trading Steph Curry, but you can't have Steph Curry at age 37 as your 10th most valuable trade guy in the league, right?
Right. I mean, I can totally understand why he doesn't have somebody like Brunson in his top 10.
However, so he had Brunson 11th.
So
at the top of the next tier.
So then Brunson is really the top of the second tier, but Giannis and Curry sit in a satellite tier where it's, if they asked out, then I would put them here. But if not, then
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a very heavy caveated tier. But then the thing about you're not putting Brunson in the same tier as Maxi is, do we just continue to disregard the playoffs?
Apparently.
At this point, it's the age-old adage that Nick's Twitter has mantra-sized, which is everybody's better than Brunson until it's time to be better than Brunson.
When it's winning time.
When it's winning time, right? Like, the one guy in those, like, second tier, whatever, that you could say, arguably, if you include the playoffs, you would put over Brunson, is probably Halliburton, because they faced head-to-head. And I won't even go into the whole caveats and what-ifs and ifs, but just off the principle of results, I could hear that argument. But it just seems like that, and even not having Halliburton anywhere in there.
So, okay, this floored me, but I also respect it, and I'm going to get to... So he had Tatum and Halliburton in their own tier, as essentially an injury tier, right?
But, oh, the certified pre-owned tier?
But where he had them... He had Tatum 29th and Halliburton 30th.
And that's the Carfax tier.
And I feel I get Simmons. He makes content first and foremost, but that's too cute by half, like, to put them down below. You can imagine, bro, some of the names.
Let Jason Tatum hit the trade market now.
Dude,
I would. Let Tatum hit the trade market now.
What is he, 28, 29?
You don't talk about underrated.
Dude, like that. I honestly. Like, if the, again, these, well, never say never. If the Lakers called the Celtics, or the Celtics called the Lakers, like, okay, straight up, Luka for Tatum. Like, I get one guy has a torn Achilles, but, well, a lot of questions asked about Luka that Tatum has kind of answered already. You know? I don't know. And he's a bouncing guy.
Answered that head to head, too.
Well, there's that. You know, ain't no one ever had to take a beer out of Jason Tatum's hand in the hallway.
And I still contend that man's chef could have been Ronald McDonald. I'm not making that fucking trade, bro. His chef, his nutritionist could have been Burger King, Lord Burger of King, of House King. I would not have made that trade. I do not care if his grandfather was Anheuser-Busch. I'm not making that trade, bro.
The Colonel. Right. What was Wendy's? Dave.
Wendy. Wendy.
Dave was his name, right? Dave was the guy.
Oh, Dave from Wendy's. Oh, Dave, yes.
Yeah.
It could have been any of them, bro. I wasn't making that trade.
I did not check where, if anywhere, Anthony Davis was on the list. I have to go back and take a look at that.
If Davis had even minor injury history, he could be fighting for that first tier. But unfortunately, want to talk about the Carfax tier?
Well, look, it's and this will transition to we could talk about yesterday's trades. Like maybe this was always the case in NBA history. Like if you go and plop yourself back in 2005 or 93 or sometime in the 80s. And you look around and be like, wait, some fascinating like NBA historical cases. But I feel like we have a bunch of them in the league right now where Anthony Davis has already made the top 75 players of all time. Like he was already named to that list. And he was, how old was he when he was named to that list? Like,
he was in top 75?
He made the top to me, it was the, I feel bad saying this because he's obviously a great player. But it was the most egregious inclusion on that list to me personally. But his NBA, his place in NBA history is somewhat already secure, and yet you look at the last half of his career, and it's like and so you have him, the whole Kawhi. Man, could you imagine what would your reaction if Shams right now, in a shocking move, the Clippers are discussing Kawhi Leonard with interested parties? How on a scale of 1 to 10, how shocked would you be?
4.
I think I'd be like a 6, 7.
Well, you know what? We just need a head swap or a spoof of Pablo Torre being Kaiser Sose. That's really what it would be at the end.
What happens if... it's not based on conferences. I was going to say, what happens if someone gets traded now for All-Star game purposes? That happened actually with Jason Kidd, right?
I don't remember. I remember Melo didn't get traded because I think that year the All-Star game was before the trade deadline. So remember where they were like, he could be traded during All-Stars?
Yeah.
When they had the practice, he had to stand in the middle. He had to stand in the middle and watch both practices because they didn't know whether or not he
then
was the West or the East. That's probably one of the many reasons why they moved it up.
Probably. So you have Kawhi, and then you have James Harden. So we texted a little bit about it yesterday. I'm not even going to say anything. What was your reaction either when the trade went down? Well, actually, let me ask you this. What were you more surprised by, if either, the first reports of the trade or seeing the trade and seeing that it was not even essentially a straight-up deal? It was Cleveland sending a second round pick along with Garland to get Harden. What was more surprising to you?
I think the fact that they had to include a second round pick for Harden. I thought that was nuts. Shout out to Mike Volkerov, who had an amazing tweet.
It was the tweet of the day.
There's like, what do you?
I'll pull it up. I'll get it right now. I'll put it up on the screen.
Yeah, because you have to read it verbatim. I don't want to paraphrase it, but if you want to talk about how shocked you are that the Cavs were able to pull this off, his tweet, like I think I sent that tweet to John and Sean, because I was just laughing because Vork used to cover the Knicks for the Athletic, but now he's like the sports and finance and business guy for the Athletic. So he has transcended
an incredible follow and just incredible guy too.
Yeah, very great storyteller, really dope. So, yeah, there are miracles, there are acts of God, and then there is the Cleveland Cavaliers, a second apron team, who can't combine contracts in a trade and can't add salary. Finding a player to trade for who made just 263,397 less this season than Garland. Incredible. So technically, the Clippers took on more salary.
It's wild.
On in a swap for all-star for all-star for a guy who's 10 years Garland senior, but playing way better than him. The second round pick is the most shocking thing to me. And then in levels of shock, it was that. Then it was that the Clippers were making this trade. Yeah. That was probably the levels back to back. Because if you've been watching us this whole season, I've been consistent in my take with the Cavs. I just didn't know that they were going to accelerate the timeline. I said, if they go out early again, honestly, low key, anything short of a title means you're blowing up this core four.
Yeah.
And I already had my concerns about Garland, the fact that now he doesn't have functional toes and he continues to sprain his toes. I thought it was one. Finding out that it was the other one that he sprained, that's the reason why he's out right now. It's like, I just thought that he wasn't going to be reliable. When we talked about the Keon Ellis Schroeder for DeAndre Hunter trade, I wondered whether or not this was Garland insurance. I didn't know the Cavs were cashing out their policy and purchasing James Harden.
So it was not that long ago where Darius Garland was viewed as one of the best young point guards in the league, right?
I'm young enough and old enough to remember.
It was not that long ago where in the Zion, Ja, RJ, Tyler Hero, who am I forgetting from that?
Hunter, sure. Funny enough.
I mean, forget him. But like in that draft, it was not that long ago where it's like, you know, who was the best guy from that? Maybe not the most talented guy from that draft, but the best guy from that guy, the guy you want from that draft.
Yep.
Is Darius Garland, which is why they must have so little confidence in his, whatever the injury situation is. And this is the other part of it, which of course reports started to emerge this morning, but we've heard this stuff over the years. Maybe Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland were not, you know, always seeing eye to eye. And that part of it, I think, makes it make a little bit more sense.
Well, it's also hard to see eye to eye when y'all don't play together.
Well, that's another part of it. But like they never figured out that partnership to an acceptable degree. And then, like, you know, the playoff failures have to be taken into account. Like, all this stuff factors in. I'm just like, I don't know. I guess it's not that I love it for the Clippers. I get it for the Clippers.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
You know,
1,000%.
You know, it's also eats into their big cap space plan. But again, it's like, what is the purpose of cap space in the NBA today? It's not to go sign free agents, because that's not how the league works anymore. It is to use your cap space as a weapon to acquire players, but it's not necessarily through free agency. So they are acquiring a guy that I would imagine they think could be a part of the next Clipper core. Last thing on this trade, I mean, well, we can talk about Harden on the Cavs, but like, does this make the Clippers more or less interesting to you this year?
I think more interesting, because I hope Garland can come back, because I would love to see what it looks like with him and Kawhi.
The reports are maybe after the All-Star break. So
Yeah, so I'm going to be interested to see if they can keep up their winning ways with inserting Garland switching Garland and Harden. I'm eager to see what that's like, because they've literally made a historic comeback in the standings from being 6-21 to being a play-in team. So are they going to be able to maintain their play-in position? Is there ways in which it could make them better? We haven't seen it yet. I would be shocked, but it does make them way more intriguing now.
I mean, you could say maybe the Mavs will keep trying for a while. They're 19-31, so that leaves them currently 4.5 back of the Clippers. I don't see the Mavs catching up. Memphis, they made their bed yesterday. We'll get to them in a second. And then the Clippers are in 9th, the Blazers are in 10th. Even if the Blazers pass them, Clippers will still be in the play-in. So I'm not, you know, I think it makes it more interesting. And then the So let's fast forward right now. Knicks. I'm trying to think how this realistically would happen. Knicks fall to third, Cavs sixth, first round. Are you more, less, or the same amount of fearfulness going into that series today than you were 2 days ago?
You know what? I'm the same.
Same?
Okay. I'm the same. I think that Harden, he gives them another all-star. I think they got better on the boards. I think they got better in just the facilitation in general. I think they got a little better in scoring. But I have seen this movie before. I've seen its sequels, and I've seen its spinoffs. I didn't have any fear in my heart for the Cavs prior to the season because I've seen the movie before. Mm. And I thought that injuries were going to be their bugaboo, but now switching out for a more durable player and somebody who does have the experience, it does make them interesting. But that experience hasn't necessarily translated into abundant playoff success. And I just want to see how Mitchell and Harden operate with each other. It's funny, on the Knicks broadcast, Clyde was mentioning how, oh, they thought me and Earl couldn't work together because we both were point guards and we had shared ball, and they took a level of sacrifice. Now it's like, well, is Mitchell just going to be off ball and let Harden run it for the first three quarters and then he takes over in the fourth? Is that what they're going to do?
I mean, I think we have to wait and see. You know, James Harden, I don't know if you've heard this before, he is the system.
Right, and that's the other thing. And then, mind you, John, we saw him with Kawhi. Yep. With Zubox, face the Knicks, and it was competitive for a little while.
Knicks handled them in that fourth quarter.
That's what I'm saying. So it's like Jared Allen still exists. This whoever this Elvin is,
hold on,
still exists.
How many hours left? 27 now.
Allegedly, he still exists. Yeah, but we'll still, see. I'm just saying, man. I think it's easy to look at shiny new things in a trade and get excited. I think I understand from the Cavs perspective. This is kind of like if you play craps, and I won't get into my analogy because only if you play craps you would understand it. There's better odds on the table now with Harden, although it may be longer odds. You have more chances to hit those odds with Harden than you did with Garland.
I get it because the Thunder just won a championship, and there are a lot of other teams that have won championships with the your turn, my turn. And Harden Mitchell is a better your turn, my turn combo than Garland and Mitchell was. Here's the reason why I think I'm a little less fearful of them, to the extent that I was fearful going into this, that I was 2 days ago. The two things that frightened me about the Cavs the most last year specifically were, number one, the machine. The Knicks defense getting caught in the blender. Mm. And I think this trade makes them less machine-like. And not easy to guard, but at least you know what's coming. Whereas where the Knicks defense has been at its worst over the last few years, it was against that Cavs team, it was against the Celtics, it was against the Pacers, where it's which direction? It's the head is spinning in 360 degrees. That's one reason. And the other reason, I got to say, the thing that made them kind of scary was Garland started defending a little bit. Not all defense, but he started holding his own on defense.
Mm.
We know a lot of things about James Harden, including that is not on his resume.
They also don't really have knockdown three-point shooters like that anymore. So if you're going to do the Harden dribble, dribble, tween, 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 wait, 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 bait, doesn't work, wait, wait, bait, doesn't work, wait, wait, kick out to the corner three, bang, right? That's not really happening. Jalen Tyson makes a leap. Okay, now we're talking.
They have Merrill. Merrill's a great shooter, but again, so now you're playing Harden with Merrill.
That's what I'm saying.
Mitchell, it's tough.
And then, okay, we get in Garland, Schroeder, Harden minutes? Let's talk about it.
Harden, Schroeder.
I mean, Mitchell, Harden, Schroeder minutes.
Yeah,
it's how I'm shaking off the Garland off of Cleveland. I can't imagine what the Cavs fans are doing. But are we getting those minutes?
They have a lot of interesting pieces, and and I don't want to disparage Kenny Atkinson because I think Kenny Atkinson's a really good coach. I'm not sure if like they're going to be able to adjust to all this on the fly well enough, which is why I actually wonder if this is more a move. Not that they're punting on this season, but maybe this is more of a move to lay the groundwork for next year, both in like retaining Mitch, getting Mitchell to extend, and then who knows what happens this summer. Exactly.
Do you think he can unlock Mobley? How did Mobley lock himself? First of all, I'd love to know that.
I don't.
Because he was hitting threes. I was already at DEF CON 2. When I saw him step back and hit a three, I said, whoa.
But honestly, I think when I think of Mobley, I think this is going to sound crazy because Mobley just won the Defensive Player of the Year. Not in that sense. But I think of him in a little bit of the same sense that I think of Cat. In that Cat wants to play a certain way. I think Mobley wants to play a certain way. I think Mobley sees himself as like a 1A option on a really good team. And he doesn't want to screen and dive however many times a game. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I'm curious to see it. I respect them a lot because Donovan Mitchell's a killer. And then we'll see what happens. Okay. Let's quickly, that was the big trade. Quickly, we get on the other ones. Jaren Jackson Jr. to Utah. Thoughts on this? What was your initial thought when you saw this trade? Because it kind of came out of left field.
I was wondering whether or not this was a salary dump. I was thinking about that. Like, yo, is this a salary dump? Then I read up some more people who cover the squads, and folks, at least on the Utah side, have high, lofty aspirations for a JJJ Markkanen Kessler front court.
They should.
So, yeah, I can see. I can see the vision. I get it. It just feels like, okay, you've been stocking your coffers for this whole time, and this is the move where you say, all right, now we're not going to suck anymore. We're just going to make it happen. We're going to make it happen this way. And go with the jumbo package and see where that takes us. And hopefully, because the tank has not run out of gas, ladies and gentlemen. That tank is going to be marching and marching and marching. So hopefully we can mess around and get AJ DeBonsta, or which would be crazy for them. That would be crazy for the state of Utah. Or Darren Peterson. Are we going to try to get into that sweepstakes and hope we hit and then run with that next year? I guess at some point you do gotta get off the pot. Right. And I just didn't think they would go in that direction.
No, I didn't either. I mean, it came out of left field. The reason why I actually get it, and I didn't think about this yesterday, but I think about it more now. It's not only that, like, you got to spend your cap space on something, but it's like, is Jaren Jackson Jr. the best player that they're going to get for the money and maybe the assets they had to give up? No, they could have gotten there was certainly a world where they could have put in more of their own picks, you know, maybe, and plus like Ace Bailey if they wanted to, and gotten like a more of a frontline star. Since when have stars ended up in places where they don't really want to be? And how many stars around the league want to be in Utah? And does Jaren Jackson Jr. carry that level of cachet where he could be like, yeah, I don't want to be in Utah? Like, he got his money. So if he has to go play in Utah now, guess what? Jaren Jackson Jr. is going to go play in Utah, and he's going to have to like it. Like, I don't know if that's too harsh, but like,
it is what it is.
Yeah, no, I just like for them to utilize their assets in this way, I actually think is kind of smart. And then for Memphis, I'm assuming this was the best deal that they could have gotten, which is fine. And then the other trade. So, and then the Detroit, Chicago, Minnesota trade. Seems like that's more of a TBD. What do the Wolves do? Same question for Detroit. Does Detroit get more of your respect today than they had 48 hours ago that they've essentially swapped Jaden Ivey for Kevin Huerter?
It's same amount of respect. Okay. Same amount of respect. I mean, is this going to reinvigorate Huerter's season so far? Maybe he was languishing in Chicago and
31% from deep.
I remember when Kevin Huerter was on the Hawks and he was hitting everything and he was nice. It hasn't been that way this season. Yeah. So if you're telling me it's Huerter potentially swapping out Duncan Robinson in the starting lineup or eventually closing and you're looking at him as another scorer, I don't know. I would have to see it.
to me, this is two things. One, this is a cautionary tale that, like, young, like, quote unquote, young, intriguing lottery picks. Like, if you don't believe in the guy, or if you don't think the guy has, now the injury to Ivy obviously factors in largely here, but like, just assuming that there's going to be some team out there that's like, ooh, we could get a second draft guy in Jaden Ivey and we're going to give up a real premium to get him. Like, that's not, it's just teams aren't going to be to do that anymore. Like, you got to have some evidence. And I don't think Ivey has shown the evidence. I like Herter for Detroit. I think he's going to, because you got to pay attention to him, you know? Whereas yeah. they've been putting out lineups this year that, like, you just frankly didn't need to pay attention to any of their shooters. And then Vooch to Boston. Same question. Respect them more, less, the same.
By
this is my
default,
hot take, by the way.
By default, I don't know, man, because I'm like, okay, now y'all have a five. Y'all
You're
have
thinking
another
about it.
Five.
You're
y'all
thinking about it. Five.
I mean, ultimately, I don't think... He got to play that other side of the court. He's giving up. He's giving back whatever they give up, whatever he gives up on the other end. I think, as far as what you said about Herter, I think that also applies to Vucevic. Like, you got to pay attention to him on the perimeter. So that does give them more optionality. I'm not all that way moved in general. I think it's just another annoying piece to give Missoula and their squad. Is just another tool to give them. But I don't know if that tool, you know, you use a screwdriver and then you get the power tool, the power screwdriver, and you like, damn, I can't do it manual anymore. I think Vucci is more of like a regular screwdriver for what they want to do. It's like, it still may get the job done, but like I said, I like Nemias Keita for them. I really like him. I'm high on him. I think it's good. Maybe it's good for their bench. Maybe it's good if I'm thinking about it for a bench or if they want to give different looks. I think ultimately it makes them a little more dynamic. I don't know if it makes them better.
So I think it depends on the matchup. I think it absolutely makes them more dynamic. I think Missoula is a perfect coach to try to incorporate him because here, and I absolutely think Keita should still start. Because here's what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen? Vooch is going to come in with the backup unit, and it's going to be Vooch plus four plus defenders. And opposing offenses are going to be like, well, Vooch is in the game. We got to figure out a way to go at him every time. And it puts like this undue pressure on the opposing offense where it's like, oh, we got to take advantage of Vooch. And it like, not that it necessarily will throw you off your game, but it's like you feel like you have to, because on the other end, it's like, well, shit, now they got this five outlook and we're in the blender. So it's like a look for like 8 to 10 minutes a half where if they're facing the wrong, I think it could really throw a monkey wrench into some team's plans.
You better play that bench straight up, man. Stop playing around. Don't get in no damn zone. You better play. You better take it back to the 90s and play one-on-one. You going to have Peyton Clark. As Reggie Miller might call her.
That was so bad.
And Clark. But yeah, you're going to have him. You're going to have Vucci, man. Who else? My ball brother.
Jordan Walsh.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. You got him. Like, you got
Hauser
a solid
lights it up,
bench.
You know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, they got Sam Hauser. You got all of them. But Peyton Pritchard is the one that's going to be trying to collapse the defense. Certain teams, Detroit, I'm looking at you. You better get him. You better get him.
The thing with Boston is if you're a complete team that is confident in what you do at both ends of the floor, you should beat Boston, right? But if you're a team exactly. that has a little bit of uncertainty at either end, or God forbid, both ends, like they know what they have to do. They execute, you know, their schemes very well. They're incredibly well coached. Like Jaylen Brown's clearly a guy that they could line up and get behind. And then I'm not even talking about the Tatum thing. So I fear them a little bit more, but again, I fear everybody. We got a question here before we turn our attention to previewing what's left.
Yes,
and then we'll get out of here. Nick's getting in on Lonzo Ball. Question, shout out JG, my guy. I just want to read Lonzo Ball's shooting percentages this year. He's shooting 30% from the field, not from three. from the field. He is essentially just the three-point shooter, which is why his percentage is so low. 27% from three, 45% from two. All he wants to do is shoot threes. He was known once upon a time as a really good passer. He's at four assists in 21 minutes a game. Okay. He's, you know, I don't think that's where I want to be looking.
I'm happy he's playing basketball again.
Yes.
I'll say that.
Good friend.
I'm happy, but it's just, if we were getting pre-injury Lonzo Ball in the league this year and you said, would he be a option? I'd say,
oh, that's a different.
Please, please. How about this? Maybe they don't trade for Harden if Lonzo was that Lonzo.
I mean, maybe if Lonzo was that Lonzo, this year would have gone differently because he would have been able to aptly fill Garland's shoes and we're having a different conversation.
Exactly. So, yeah, I don't. The Knicks have ways that they can upgrade and fortify. I don't think that he fits into that, Bill.
I do not either. Which leaves left on the table around the league. We have some smoke still about Sabonis to the Raptors. Is that exciting to you at all? With once a Nick, always a Nick, RJ Barrett would be going. Can you imagine if the Kings trotted out a lineup? Russ, DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, RJ Barrett, and for good measure, Precious Achiuwa. You want to talk about appointment viewing for that first game?
Listen, that team in 2006.
Oh, it's a wrap.
That is a 2006 ass team as if I've ever seen it. Like they would have been vying for.
Watch out, Miami. Watch out, Detroit.
It would have been crazy. San Antonio, watch your back. Beautiful basketball. Meet the Sacramento Kings. Wow. So what? It would be Poeltl, Sabonis, Ingram, Quick, and Scotty Barnes.
So again, you don't know what reports to believe and what to toss out. I haven't seen Poeltl's name in the deal, and it certainly doesn't need to be there for money. Poeltl may just be toxic right now. He may not be tradable with that extension still a ways away from kicking in, which I don't blame anyone for thinking that. Again, mea culpa, way too low on our worst contracts. My worst contracts was. But Poeltl's the backup. So it's Sabonis, Barnes, Ingram, Quickly, and then pick your...
Jamal Shead.
Who's good? I love Jamal Shead. Jamal Shead's really good.
Yeah, I guess they could run with the small backcourt, Shead, Quickly, and then... I get it. If that's the best that you can do. Okay.
Yeah. Other than that, is there anything else that you have on your? I mean, I'm curious what the Wolves look. Maybe it was just a money thing. Other than the Giannis thing, is there anything else really worth paying attention to? I mean, there's a Knicks question here, which we'll take in a minute. But like, other than like that, what the Knicks might do with Gershon's contract, can we amend the CBA rules on the fly to make it so that trades with overseas leagues are legal and count for savings against your salary cap, please?
Can you just get a trade exception if you trade with an international team? I mean,
what's the conversion rate between like lira and the US dollar? Maybe we get
a couple of bucks back. I could see a world in the not too distant future where the NBA trade window emulates soccer's trade windows, where you're trading with different leagues. Like World Soccer has their own window where you're trading. You're not just trading within your own league.
Can you imagine?
Across leagues. That, to me, is the next frontier. They're going to have to figure out money and all of that. So where it's not just like a buyout and let you go. But I can see a future, especially with this NBA Europe happening and all of that. Yeah. I can see a future where there's multiple trade windows. There's like an international trade window, and then there's the NBA domestic league trade window.
Wild.
Yeah. Yeah. So that would increase the prospects of players going to Europe and saying, hey, instead of getting bought out, maybe you can get traded. Like, imagine you get traded to Real Madrid basketball this season. That'd be crazy, but I can see it.
They need to turn him into something. And I thought Fred Katz had a really smart tweet last night suggesting that it'll basically be a situation, maybe, where another team, he goes to another team and helps that team, and that team buys him out. And by buying him out and him giving a little bit of money back, it helps that team duck the tax. And then he'll make up that money in Europe.
It's been a lot of salary dumping and money moving. Like, boy.
So let's look at the Giannis thing from this perspective. Here, I got two tweets from Knicks52. Let's take a look at these. So if nothing materializes for Giannis outside of the Knicks today, do you think he could then force the issue and push for a move to New York tomorrow, meaning literally tomorrow, the day of the trade deadline? I've read multiple reports saying the Bucks want to do right by him. Is it possible that Giannis's representation gives them a window to explore other options and get what they're looking for? I'm just going to say, and you tell me if you disagree, please.
Mm-hmm.
I think Giannis to the Knicks at this point is, for right now, in the next 23 hours, I think it's dead. I don't think it's happening.
Oh, yeah. It's cooked. It's cooked. And you got to think about it logically. I saw people mention how, the Cavs have won 8 out of their last 13, and they looked like they were on an upswing, so the trade caught them a little bit off guard. Now I said, well, this has been a problem that has been festering with them really since 2023. Really since that playoff, they won the Mitchell sweepstakes and then got ceremoniously ousted, bullied out the playoffs in 5.
By the team they beat in those sweepstakes.
Right? And that was strike one. This is year 4 of their project. So this wasn't like for people who were actually looking at them and monitoring them, this wasn't some big shock like, oh my God, I cannot believe this is happening, right? The Knicks we're approaching year 2 of this current campaign.
Yep.
With all the moves that are happening. For those of you who aren't tapped into what's been going on locally, I'm sure National has touched on it a little bit, but James Dolan, the owner, came out and said, I was told that this is the team as currently constituted is good enough to make the finals. So that's what I think should happen. I don't think we're making any major moves. So I don't see that coming out of nowhere. Now, I'm also the person who said when they went in that 2-9 skid, if this skid continues, I cannot fault the front office for punting and making a drastic move. I can't, because if either y'all have issues in the locker room, if you have issues on the court, or it's both, you cannot wait for the rest of the season if y'all are going to keep playing like this. Subsequently, they turned it all the way up and now they've won 7 in a row.
Yep.
And they look more like the team that we saw, like I call the NBA Cupperbockers. They look like the Cupperbockers. They don't look like whatever. They look like that was a blip.
Yeah.
And if you believe that the majority of the season where we've seen them perform like the 7-game win streak is the true identity of the team, I think it personally would be malpractice to blow this up in the way that they would need to blow it up in order to go get Giannis. That's what I'm saying. If you were talking one for one with certain players, I think that's a legit conversation that you have to have. And if it was just one for one, I feel like there wouldn't be a conversation. There wouldn't be a conversation. But for what they have to do, I do not think it makes logical sense. I think it's counterintuitive to what we've been seeing on the court this season. And I think there is something to say for an unquantifiable variable, which is team chemistry. Something clicked with them again. They seem like they're at least all focused on the same goal. I do not think you disrupt that. Now, when it comes to summer, that's a different story, but I don't think that you try to create mountains. They're not even trying to move mountains. They're trying to create mountains that they can move for this guy. And also, John, I don't know how you feel. But bro, it has to be said. I'm one of the guys who had, I've been talking about Giannis for the last 2 or 3 years. I've had a Giannis agenda. I also know my guy's had a lot of calf injuries and lower body injuries. And he's not old, but he's crossed over the Rubicon of 30 and he has these lower leg injuries. Can you imagine what would happen if they made some drastic move and this man was out for the season because of an injury that we might have seen coming? That's why I'm thinking when you factor it all in, bro, this isn't the gamble that it was in the summer, to be quite frank. It wasn't the same type of stakes. The stakes have been elevated. I don't think you do it.
I could not have phrased that better than you did. You hit on everything. A couple just add-ons. You could argue that they're playing better now than they have at any point in this season because of the defense, which, again, I know opponent quality. There have been some stinky offenses in this stretch, but still, like, they're like, what, 10 points better per 100 possessions than the next best defense during this winning streak?
Plus 173. They're blowing out the teams by 24.5. And then to your point about the defense, John, yes, y'all want to talk about, well, who did they play? We can play that game with every team that's going on winning streaks, first off.
Oh, and yeah, always.
Secondly, there's a difference between, A, they're playing good defense against bad teams, and, yo, no matter who the team is, they are determined to keep them under 100 points. And this is from 1 to 15.
Yep.
This isn't just the core. Like, I felt there was, like, a disappointment on the court when Washington hit that three. To go up to 101.
You know when we first saw this, and it's going to be the image that, depending on how the rest of this year goes, may stay with me the longest, as crazy as it sounds, was in that Nets game, in the last minute of that, or 2 minutes of that Nets game, Pacome Dottier trying to defend, I forget who the guy was on the Nets. Like, it was game 7 of the freaking finals. And, you know, trying to keep them, or trying to, like, maintain the possibility that the Knicks could double them up in terms of the score. That's when I was like, okay. So, again, not a players only meeting, right? Because the door was open. Anybody could have walked in.
We just had a conversation and all players were together. The coaches they were in the building. However, they weren't in the room.
They were all in the bathroom.
They could have walked in if possible. Yes. But for some reason, they decided to give us a minute.
They were like,
while we had the time, we had a conversation. It wasn't players only.
No.
We're all inclusive.
It was only players. It was not players.
Exactly. It was only players, but it wasn't players over. We did not exclude. The timing just, you know, it just lined up that way.
It just lined up. And then the only other thing, you basically said this. Given, and I don't mean to put him down, but, like, given the fact that the reporting has been very clear that the value of Karl Anthony Towns is not great around the league right now.
Or where it should be, to be honest.
Given his talent, yes, where it should be because of, you know, how money and how he's been playing lately and the whole thing. Because of that, to have been able to accumulate the assets you would have needed to pull this trade off, which again would be a 3 or 4 team or however many team deal, it would have been an act of desperation. Now, if they didn't turn it around, to your point, desperate times call for desperate measures. It is not desperate times anymore. So I think that's why you see things where they are right now, which is the Knicks are going to be like, look, we're interested. He's a great, but we're not going to bend over backwards while jumping through X number of hoops to try to make this happen. For what it's worth, I don't think he's going to get traded before the deadline.
That's where I've stood. From everything I've heard and everything I've seen, I really think this is a Milwaukee just waiting to see if somebody throws everything. And it looks like the teams are like, everybody's heard the same scuttlebutt. Everybody's made their offers. And now you're waiting for the next bid in the auction. While y'all are all sitting there and can see what you're bidding.
I look at it slightly differently, which is I don't think there's a team other than the teams who have not gotten involved. So let's say Houston and San Antonio or Oklahoma City, if you want to throw them in too. I don't think there's a team out there that wants him, that has more to offer, that they aren't offering. I think this is just a creativity thing where it's Minnesota trying to figure out, as reports have indicated today, all right, what could we get for this guy? What could we get for this guy? What could we? They're willing to put X, Y, and Z on the table. It's a matter of finding the team and the multi-team scenario where, you know, all right, who's giving up what for Naz Reid, you know?
Right.
That sort of a situation.
You know, John, what's my other indication that, yeah, I think this Giannis thing is cooked? The market did not wait. The market stopped waiting. And everyone started making trades. Once I saw that Triple J trade, I said, oh, everybody's moved on.
Yeah.
Now it's time. We have to take care of family business. We cannot worry what Milwaukee is doing. JJJ happened. Harden happened, right? What was the other one? Oh, the Schroeder Ellis thing, that happened. Vucci Man happened. Like, everybody's going about their business. Like, I heard the crazy idea of potentially the Cavs getting in on Giannis. And
well, that would I mean, they would have to cut just a bunch of salary, and that's very difficult.
Right. So I'm like, once I saw that everybody stopped, because think about it. Y'all got to think about it. Just look at the evidence in front of you and let's try to paint a logical picture, right? There was literally no real movement. We got Trae Young early.
And that's it.
Then that has been it. To the point where people were saying, like, Shams takes over the Raves 1 year and this trade deadline is ass. Like, it was jokes going around about that. Like, well, this is not my NBA trade deadline. And then all of a sudden, the dominoes started falling. And none of them dominoes is Giannis. And now we're getting more reports. You know, I don't know where all of this news is coming from. I would love.
He wants to return. He doesn't want to leave Milwaukee. You didn't hear him?
My kid's passport. What do they say? Born Milwaukee, Wisconsin. My father buried in Milwaukee.
Why you gotta go there?
No, he did say that.
I'm sure he did.
I'm not freestyling. This is using the actual script. I'm Sarah Palin in SNL right now. I'm using the actual words. This is not a freestyle.
Now we just need the really honest to come out behind you wearing the same clothes as you.
Jeff is absolutely correct. This is what I said. This is my last conversation on the topic until Thursday 301. But yeah, man, like, yo, now we're getting the I'm sorry for 2004. Like, what are we doing here? Pencils down, man. I'm ready for pencils down.
And to anyone saying, well, the Knicks haven't made a move yet, I think that's because they're waiting for someone to blink on their Yahoo poo-poo platter that they have out there on the table right now, which somebody will blink at some point. All right, last couple questions here. Knicks 52 with another one, and he thanked us for answering the previous ones. Do you do the Washington pick for either Ayo or Jose and Misi to fortify the bench? I personally would give up the Washington pick for either Ayo or Jose Alvarado and Misi. I am skeptical as to whether that gets it done for either, especially if Yabusele is the salary going out. I hope I'm wrong. And then we got my guy Jason. For the Knicks to be serious contenders, to be honest, they would have had to trade OG, McCall, and Deuce or Mitch. Not worth it for this team right now. Hopefully they can revisit in the offseason. I think they will get that chance. And then this is, we got this from JG. Jeff is the man. No disagreement there. And then, where is it? Why isn't Macri wearing the cap? The fact that I have become synonymous with this hat that I, shout out to Fanatics. And I love the hat. It's my favorite hat I think I've ever had.
It's the a reason dope hat.
Why. What? I like it.
It's really good.
I think it's upstairs. The reason why, talk about shameless plugs and shameless transitions, is I'm going on the putback with Ian in 45 minutes. So,
oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so if y'all want to get into it. Look, and here's the thing about Ian and the putback. You know he's dropping some nugget of knowledge on that show. And I'm going to sit there with a dumb smile on my face. I'm going to nod right along with it and try to sound smart along with them. But yeah, tune in to SNY's, I guess, their YouTube channel, and or you can watch on Twitter at 1 o'clock. Jeff, I've kept you for far too long.
No, it's all good, man. I love it. I cannot wait. I love the Ian drops. When you ask him the pointed question where there's no equivocation, he goes, well, you know, Johnny, I've heard this is what I'm hearing. I'm not reporting, but if I had to guess, it's the calm demeanor. When you hear Begley's voice start to cook up, I'm like, if you had to guess, but you're not guessing, Ian.
The most proud I ever am of myself is when I ask Ian a question where he repeats the question and then is silent for several seconds as he looks at the sky. That's like,
he's like, what can I say?
put that look and that clip like on my gravestone. Because it's the best thing I'm ever gonna do.
This is awesome, man.
This is great. We're gonna do. I roped you in for this, so I'm gonna rope Sean in for a post trade deadline thing. I don't know what that MF is doing, but he's gonna have to pony up some time. Jeff, anything before we get out of here?
Beware of sources. Everybody knows something now instead of a month ago or even a week ago. But this is the most chaotic time of the year. Take everything with a grain of salt until you see those notifications. But I think the next 20 whatever hours, 28 hours is going to be insane. But yeah, this ain't going nowhere. That's what I think. I think there's at least one more what the hell. I think wherever John Morant goes is going to be whoa. And then there might be something that we aren't seeing yet. Like, I'm literally looking at every team on my screen right now to say, like, right, who has something wild in them? Do the Rockets make a move because their guys are dropping like flies? Are the Suns committed to making the playoffs now? I mean, Booker ain't going nowhere, so you don't got to worry about him asking out for a trade. Do they try to flip something? Are the Warriors dark horsing, making some dark art move in the background? Which one of these Eastern Conference teams is just going to say, yo, you know what? We got to do something.
Here's how we're ending the show. One word for each of us. One team. Not where does John Morant end up? Because I'd probably say Miami. What's the most batshit Ja team? The one that if you saw, your eyes would legitimately like pop out of their sockets.
Orlando.
Really?
It'd pop out of my, yeah, because I'm like, so now you're the Orlando Grizzlies?
That would be, oh my God.
That would be
wild.
What are we doing? Like, it literally be, what are we doing here? What are you cooking?
I will go with Phoenix.
Ooh. Oh my God.
Jalen Green salary.
Ooh. Yeah, see, I'm telling you that there could be some fantastic things. It's just a matter, but I think Memphis is asset hunting right now, so we'll see.
Yeah, see what they do. All right, this was great. Jeff, you're the man.
Thank you so much, brother.
Everybody, you know the deal. If you dig the show, if you dig us, obviously follow us on social. Jeff is making a cottage industry out of these Knicks post-game recaps, which are just getting better and better, including that was live from the Garden the other day, which only added to the joy of watching that. And of course, if you like the show, follow NBA Takedown on YouTube and we're, you know, on all socials, the whole thing. We will be back with more fun and games before you know it. In the meantime, the next time you could I almost forgot this. The next time you catch us talking to each other with Sean will be on the Knicks Film School YouTube channel. I'm starting things off with Jeremy tomorrow, I think at 2. And then you guys, right, 3:30 we said?
I think so, yeah. So right after the deadline ends.
Yeah, it's gonna be a marathon as it always is. So yeah, look out for all that. We will talk to y'all soon. Thanks everybody for watching and take care.